Do you know, the truth is, God is speaking to us. I always love it when I shared probably just over a week ago with Ben, who was leading worship, and Anna, just the rough sort of outline of what I'm going to share today. And then they wait on God and the worship that we've sang. Is that rebounding a bit? He'll sort that. And then the words that Anna shared at the start of the meeting are very apt towards what I'm sharing. Do you know that God's got a sense of humour? Every time I look in the mirror in the morning, I think, God's got a sense of humour. And looking at some of you, I think you feel the same, don't you? You found that funny, didn't you? I remember Ian, this is not on my notes, I remember Ian many years ago asking someone, describe your own face. How would you describe your own face? Don't do it, just, and don't do it to the person next to you, but just think about that. So Anna's already mentioned the Proverbs that we've been going through, wise words, and the people who've already shared online, I've just been inspired by the wisdom, by the raw and real that they've shared. Thank you so much. That's going to continue through this month. If I was going to title this ministry, I would title it, Got Your Back. Just turn to someone and say, Got Your Back. And I'll say it like you mean it. You know, one of the most important lessons I've learned in my Christian walk is that God's got my back, literally. I'll come to that as the service goes on. You know, I purposely give me, myself, the title that we're going to speak on today, emotions. Because you want emotion, I'll give you emotion. Because I do wear my heart on my sleeve, I'm that sort of person. Did you know this fact? There are some 27 different categories of emotion. 27. They've added two recently. Admiration, adoration, appreciation, amusement, anger, anxiety, awe, awkwardness, boredom, calmness, confusion, craving, disgust, empathetic pain, excitement, fear, horror, interest. I've just spotted my notes then. Joy, nostalgia, relief. It's no wonder that we need a bit of God's help in it to navigate life. Emotions. Anna shared it right at the start of our meeting that we are wonderfully made. We're wonderfully put together in our mother's womb. Do you know what? When you consider, when you look in the mirror, there's no one like you. You're an individual. You're one of a kind. There's no replicas. Although the world we live in now, AI, there's replicas everywhere. But in God's kingdom, you're the only one. You're a child of God. You are one of a kind. But you all have your own ways of working, don't you? Your own foibles, your own challenges, the own ways that you take and go through life. You know, over the last few weeks alone, just in my own world, I've dedicated babies on the platform here. And we've stood up as a congregation and we prayed over mum and dad. And we prayed over baby and we dedicated them to God. And then we said, we're going to be there to encourage them and then help them in their life and their journey in life. And then that same week, following week, I then married a beautiful couple. And then later the next week, I married a very, very good friend of mine. Sorry, I did the funeral service. Said like I'm marrying someone, isn't it? I officiated over a funeral service, a very good friend of mine and ours. And each one of those different moments, I needed to give my undivided attention to that moment. My emotions, if I'm not careful, can overwhelm me and override me. And I'm thinking about this when I should be thinking about this. And I found even when I was doing the funeral service, I was overcome with emotion. I had to collect my thoughts to bring them back into focus to help family and friends who were attending in the moment, in the room. We're encouraged not to dwell on the past. Although we dream about the future, we've got to concentrate our mind on the present, on the now, on the today. But let me tell you about emotions. As you carry your own thoughts and emotions, do you know on average how many thoughts you're going to have on an average day? 60,000. 60,000 thoughts an average person. I don't know how they work these things out, but 60,000. So I work in a very spontaneous way. I hate injustice. I love God with a passion. I defend others and I defend you with all I have. Some might say, well, Anna would say I'm a bit fiery at times. Would you say that, Anna? I am a redhead. Well, it's golden blonde, as you know. But, you know, spontaneity. Think about your own character and how you work through life. This is the definition of it. A sudden impulse or inclination without premeditation or much thought, acting on an outside influence. That's me. Spontaneity. The audience broke out in spontaneous applause. It wasn't really spontaneous because I was asking you to do it. So, sharing a bit how I'm wired, and it's apt towards what I'm sharing this morning. Without fail, and most mornings, I either said to myself or say in the offices, God, give me the wisdom of Solomon. It winds Sue Banks up, who's our pastoral minister, because I say it every morning I'm in work, because I need wisdom. And so do you. I remind me of the scripture in James 1 and 5 and 6. Let's read it together. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, you'll know that I often mention the word raw and real. In other words, let's share our vulnerabilities. You know, Anna's done that, how she shared this morning. We come before a God who knows us intimately. He knew us before we even entered into this earth. And I want to share something about myself because, again, it helps you understand a bit the challenges I have on my day today. So back in the day, I like putting pictures up of myself, but this is me 35 years ago when I raced motocross. I love speed. I love adrenaline sports, extreme sports. So that is me. Recently, my son, Ross, rang me. He's a professional photographer. And he says, hey, Dad, do you fancy having a day on a motocross track? I didn't put my brain in gear. Absolutely. Book me in. I'm up for it. That's what gets you in trouble. I am 60. I know I don't next March. So, wow, he doesn't look it. Please say that. I didn't say I didn't feel it. I said I don't. So I'm saying to Ross, absolutely, 35 years ago I used to race. I still think I can do it. This is me on Friday. I'll do anything to get a picture up, won't it? No, my back is wrecking me, I'm telling you, as I'm stood here. I get my motocross gear on. I put my helmet on. I even have managed, because me and Anna are being a bit healthy, as you're thinking, I got my original race pants back on. Oh. And we went for it. I am paying the price to some extent. But, you know, in the way I'm sharing those things, and that happened just on the Friday just gone, some would say, you daft lad, at your age. Others would say, good on you, go for it. But I'm the sort of person, if I can, I'm going to keep on being myself. The book of Proverbs is a God our Father in heaven coaching us in life. Whether we're Christian here or not, God wants to guide us. What does it mean, specifically and practically, to look at our emotions? I'm going to say this, and some of you need to hear this. After all, God is emotional. Just look at Jesus. He was God among us. He was emotional. He had to be because he was part of humanity. Jesus is not a distant God. He got involved. I love the fact that our Jesus got involved in life. He's not a passive deity like other religions, but he's a Jesus who got dirt under his fingernails, who dined with sinners. He loved the unlovely and smashed all the pretense of the culture, of the religious culture of the day. 2,000 years ago. You know, we need to be careful, church. Be careful we don't consider our lives void of emotions and just put a brave face on and stoically going through life with ideals that are not really from God, but they're bred into us. That, you know, that saying, the British stiff upper lip mentality. a mentality that says that men don't cry. Really? I've not got that memo. But as I grew up in an unchristian home, let me tell you, my dad said to show any tears was a sign of weakness. And guess what? He'd learned it. He'd learned it from his dad. So I grew up in an atmosphere that I couldn't show my emotions. Jesus would have failed in his quest and his walk if he walked without emotion. Next Sunday is our commemorative Sunday, and we'll remember our fallen men and women who passed in years gone by in wars that have happened. You know, I like reading about the wars and the human nature of wars take, but listen, I read about a boy soldier who was 13 years of age. He went to war. The peers of the time, this is the First World War, said, "You're old enough." These youngsters were scared out of their wits. They were emotionally not ready and physically not ready. Some tried to flee and they suffered the consequences. Church, our Bible tells us that Jesus was an emotional person, just like me and just like you. The Bible says this, "Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering." Another version says this, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." It was as raw and real for Jesus as it gets. You know, if you enter your calling wholeheartedly as Jesus did, he didn't look back. He gave his everything. And that was to redeem our emotions. How do we see the real emotion, the perfect emotion in Christ? Let me share this. We see it in so many ways. One of the greatest feelings of emotion in his journey whilst he was on this earth was compassion. The scriptures I read you from the Bible, if you want the specifics, you can ask me later. But he looked at the rich young man and loved him. He was moved with pity by the leper. He wept over his friend Lazarus. He opened the ears of a deaf man. He wept over Jerusalem. He cared so deeply, and he still does. He looked over the hurting and the harassed. And you know, wherever the gospel goes, whoever hears, people's compassion is aroused. Ben said the same as he led worship this morning. Listen this, your emotions are the slaves to your thoughts, and you are the slave to your emotions. What worries you masters you. I'll say that again. What worries you masters you. Feelings are something you have, not something you are. Do you know the most important decision you're going to make today? And it's profound, this. Drum roll, please. Is this. The most important decision you're going to make today is to be in a good mood. That's a decision. You might think, wow, that's not so striking, but it is. It's a decision that you're going to have to make. Just a thought. Proverbs constantly teaches as regards wisdom and our emotions. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is hasty temper exalts folly. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That's difficult, or just for me. So as Christians, do not deny the role of emotions and know that they're not your master, but your servant. We're easily led astray if we rely on our fleeting emotions. Do you know, because this is a constant, it's not just something we conquer and then we're sorted. It's a daily one that we've got to conquer. I have a desire to conquer it and come under Jesus and ask Jesus to navigate my life. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is hasty has temper, exalts folly. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So because of my natural impulses, one of the words that often follows me is, I'm sorry. Because my instinct and the word that follows is the way I've been woven together. If I see an injustice, I want to talk into it straight away. I want to do something about it. Do you know, just an example of that, we, with Bridge FC as I manage the football team, I would see every tackle on behalf of Bridge FC. Fair tackle ref, nothing wrong with that. There are lads on the floor like this, but fair tackle. I would see all in my eyes. I once had a opposing manager come up to me and he says to me, Pastor, can we pray? It's getting a bit passionate over there. I says, go back to your dugout, my friend. I did. It's not a time. We're in battle here. Now, at the end of the match, I go and say, well done and all that. But, you know, I didn't see things clearly in the emotion of the moment. I saw it in the way that I wanted to see it. I'm passionate. But you know something? I've seen parents, grandparents, carers watch their grandkids and children play. Oh, and you're very vocal. Some of you even walk on the pitch. Your emotions have come over you and got the better of you. And you're Johnny or you're whoever is on the pitch and your Mary has been kicked and you're going to do something about it. And referee can have a word or they're only five. You lose it for that moment. Do you know, I was thinking about this and I have a smile. Kev might be in this morning, but a mate of mine and Kev, we went to watch wrestling back in the day. Giant Haystacks and Big Daddy. Everyone remember them? That's your age. It was on World of Sport on a Saturday dinner time. Now, in the scheme of things, the modern WWE, the likes, you know, they're probably Undertaker, John Cena, The Rock, Stone Cold, Steve Austin and the Hulk Hogan. We've heard of those names, haven't we? Back in the day, it was Mick McManus. Yeah, well, Denise remembers that. Giant Haystacks, Big Daddy, Dynamite Kid and Kendo Nagasaki. Billy Two Rivers, never heard of. Is that a real one? Ian's a bit older than me. That was a bit before that. But you know what I remember about me and Kev watching this wrestling was this lady, I think she just picked up a chippy dinner and she was on the front and she had a bat and bag and she's hitting Giant Haystacks. Now she's about 5 foot and he's about 8 foot. She's probably hit him in his midriff. But she was so emotionally charged towards what was going on. Now you can argue, is it real or is it not? But she was welfing him with her handbag. It was real. It was happening. But that's a comical picture. But what about what it says in Genesis 4 about Cain and Abel? There's a story about them and the brothers. The story of Cain and Abel. This is a great example of a lack. We learn about their actions and their attitude. Simply put, this is Abel. He offered God a firstborn as his offering. And God accepted it. The Lord respected Abel's sacrifice, but did not respect that offered by Cain, his brother. In a jealous rage, Cain murdered Abel, his emotions overtaking his actions. Wow. Emotions are so powerful. And sometimes can seem a blessing or not. You know, God has given us emotions for a purpose, but they can be so easily there to control us and rule our lives. But God has not intended that. The Lord had regard for Abel for his offering, but Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. His emotion and character came to the fore. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. But you must master it. Our emotions are usually followed by actions. And you know, when those actions start to take place, it's like a train and we're carrying a train and they start then to add up. So we tend to feel the act, react. Then we think about it later, which leads us to feel worse and so on. And the cycle continues. Proverbs, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart and good news refreshes the bones. So our basic weakness, our flaw, our foolishness is what the New Testament calls desire. Each person here and online is tempted when he or she is lured and enticed by our own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That's from James 1, 14 to 15. No mincing of the words there. The word desire means something like emotion in overdrive. It's the death-creating power inside us. Our emotions are out of control. What, me? Yes, you. Humans are capable of great destruction and evil when emotions are not controlled. To counter this, let me just say about Jesus. Jesus felt more than tenderness and compassion. He also got angry. What, meek and mild Jesus? Yes. He got angry with the Pharisees. He was grieved at the hardness of heart. When the disciples wanted the children to come to him, and the disciples said, go away, he was irritated and he showed it. Let them come to me, he said. He was angered and offended at death when he stood at the grave of a friend. He turned the money changers' tables in the temple. He turned them over. And the Bible says this, if you read it. He said he made a whip for himself, so it wasn't a mere outburst. He meant it. This is what the word of God says. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their table. To those who sold doves, he said, get out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. He called people hypocrites. He called people wolves. Jesus never wavered in open resenting what was wrong with our world, but it was a righteous anger. He went beyond anger and wrong. He also suffered for it. It's why I said earlier that it's why the Bible calls him a man of sorrows. He took on our sorrows as his own. He didn't have to, but he was emotional and vulnerable. And it was a love that he was willing to pay. His heart was tormented. But during his passion and in his passion, he said, my soul is troubled. My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. On the cross, he was alone. He knew what he faced. Yet, church, he endured the cross for a reason. And the reason was for the joy set before him. Let me read this to you. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with oil of gladness before his companions. In other words, he was the happiest man around. The Bible says he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Now that's extreme joy. He told us why he came, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. He didn't come to give us an emotionless life. He came to give the fullness of joy life. He did not come into this world as a burning sense of wrong, but with a happy sense of mission. And he lived in close fellowship with God all the way. How could Jesus be happy? Through all of his earthly life, he walked closely and talked with his Father constantly in heaven. I want you to see Jesus in all the fullness of his personal life and beauty, because he lavishes it on us today. It is he who today, right now, is in this place, our perfect Jesus. Our emotional Jesus, our Jesus who's aligned with God. The book of Proverbs, we have the wisdom to navigate our turbulent lives, our negative emotions, our dead emotions, our distorted emotions. We need to live an emotional life, but God wants to guide us in that. I heard a great quote and I want to read it to us. The gospel remedies not zero emotion. If Christ finds us and receives us as emotional jungles. He doesn't turn us into emotional deserts. He cultivates us in emotional gardens with life and colour and order, where our drivenness and compulsiveness are redeemed into a holy and beautiful freedom and intensity that the gospel emotion Christ gives by grace. If you're out of control or dead inside, give yourself to Christ today. His heart is open to you right now. Got your back. I want to give you an example because it's fine me sharing any words I'm going to share today on paper and we can say, oh, that was all right, or other things that you might say. But what about when you're under the cosh? And I mean under the cosh. You've nothing left in the tank. You're in here, but you're not in here. You're going through life, but you're going through the motions of life. I'm going to ask the band to come up as I share this because we're going to go into communion. In our weakness, we don't feel strong. But God is our invincible army, we read. The devil throws everything against us. Yet we're still doing our best to walk with God. But we have come to that the end of where we are. Let me share this story. Some of you might have heard it, but many won't have. As I share this, I shared what I did about myself earlier because I want you to get a bit of insight to me. I'm not a shrinking violet. I see injustice, I act on it. I'm watching our football team play. I am passionate behind them 100%. Someone has a go at them, they've got to have a go at me as well. That's who I am. That's how I work. But I'm going through an incredibly difficult time in my life. It's a few decades ago now. In fact, it was when I was a relatively new Christian. Going through real, real tough time. Do you know that time when I had nothing to give apart from get through the day to day? My children were growing up and on a normal morning, I'd run my son Ross to Cannon Slade Secondary School, which is just local to where we live. So I'm wretched, I'm lonely, and I'm confused. So as you picture me running my son, we go over the tops, which is, then you drop down into Bolton to go to the school. And as this picture unfolds, my son's next to me, it's really important you picture that because there's a set of traffic lights on the brow of a hill, and I can't see down the hill. But if you've ever been at those country sort of lanes and you can't see around the corner of your traffic lights, it went on red and I stopped. Cars coming towards me and then slowly but surely the cars stop and then there's a lull. Well, you know when there's a lull, your light's going to turn to green. So the lights turn to green. As I set off and go over the brow, a car is speeding towards me. I have to literally go over to the side. I put my window down. This guy puts his window down and he spits in my face. So we stop, he spits on my face. My natural personality is to do something about that. But I've got Ross next to me, cars are behind me, and I carry on. Now, you could say, oh, it was fortunate the cars were moving. I'm in a tough place. I'm in a place where I need God's help because I don't know how I'm going to respond because my naturalness to respond isn't good because it's an injustice and I'm at the tip of my emotions and that's where I am. Now, I'd like to say that was that and that was done and that's a nice little story, but it isn't. For the next months, and Ross is here today, you can ask him because he'll see it from his perspective, but I'm seeing it as Dad. For the next months, every single morning, this guy would either try to run me off the road or follow me home. And it was almost like this intensive battle going on. And I just, sometimes a rage would come over me and I'd want to stop and sort it out. But then the God that's in me just helped me to be on the right side of things. And it continued and it continued and it continued. Now, there's a climax to this story. Because God, in his word, says you'll never give us so much that we won't withstand it. But when you're going through it, it just doesn't seem like there's going to be an answer to anything. I don't know whether I'm adequately describing the low points of my life, the lowest point of my life. When you're not in control of your own mind in some ways, because, you know, you're just emotionally drained. And this is going on, and my son's seeing it and seeing my reaction or non-reaction. But I'm battling just to get through these moments. Then one morning, I'm coming to Cannon Slade, and as well, I'm getting there, both traffic stops. So we stop on our side. Now we're not the lights anymore, we're just on normal traffic. And the traffic on my right hand side stops. And a car stops next to me, and you've guessed it, it's this guy. I put my window down, he puts his window down. This is the interaction, which sounds really lame after all that I've said. He says to me, have a good day, mate. I goes, you too. And we went on. And it was almost like anything that had happened before and had gone, God had made a way where there seemed no way. We sing about it. I dropped Ross off at school and I cracked on with my day. Never saw the guy again. But when we come to the end of ourselves, God undertakes. When we battle to do right, God is a God who's never lost a battle. He gives us strength to go beyond what you feel and what you can cope with or even take. He'll lead you. He'll protect you. He's got your back. In our weakness, he is strong. He is our invincible army. He knows you. He loves you. He has compassion on you. And when you emotionally got nothing to give, he's still got your back. Jesus with scars that say, I felt it, I lived it, and I understand it. You know, as our leaders in communion, I want you to consider your own walk with God and sometimes how you just take it for granted. Don't take this time for granted. I've asked Ben and the worship team to lead us in King of Kings, Majesty. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve. God made us emotional. But as Christians, we do not deny the role of emotions, but we bring them under our God. I ask you not to come out lightly. I ask you to examine yourselves. I ask you not to come out if you've not committed your life to God, because this is a time where we do some business with God. The bread signifies the body of Jesus, which is broken for us. He's taken on all our sin, inequity, rebellion, disease, grief and shame. The juice represents his blood, which was shed for you and represents the new covenant. Emotions, they're not there to be our master, but our servant. Jesus is our role model. He worked through his life with emotions, but always under the submission to his calling. And when I say amen, it's all about Jesus. When we take communion, it's all about Jesus. When we're on our own, it's all about Jesus. When I hold a baby in my arms and dedicate, it's about Jesus. When I marry a couple, God is central to that marriage. When I say goodbye and people are promoted to heaven, I can say it with conviction when they've given their life to Christ in their lifetime. Church, let's do some business with God today. Don't deny emotions, but bring them under our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Thank you.